Good evening. My name is Ben, and I'm an alcoholic. Really happy to be here. Thanks, Andrew, for asking me to speak. And, you know, I always get nervous when I'm asked to speak at a meeting, and I think that's just because, you know, I'm sharing my truth. And also, you know, it's not all of it's pretty, you know. Some of it's really painful, and some of it's not painful, and some of it's great. So it's, you know, it's a... And you never know what you're going to say. Like, I'm... You know, I was really thinking, like, what am I going to talk about? And I want to talk about this, and I want to make sure that, you know, will I be funny? Will I be not funny? And, of course, you never know when you come to speak, and then, you know. So, and then at the end of it, you're like, what did I say? So, I really am, you know, humbled to come back to this meeting. Like, this meeting really helped me in my early sobriety, first year and a half. It was one of the first meetings I came to. And my sponsor at the time, Janusz, who came to this meeting a lot, said, you need to come to this meeting. And I was, like, terrified. And I had, like, well, first of all, I didn't have any days because I would come to a meeting and still drink afterwards and not raise my hand. And then finally, when I had, like, 4 days, I started counting days. And I asked Janusz to be my sponsor, and started going through the steps straight away. You know, my life gradually got better, but it was a long process. And just being back here now, my sobriety day is November 4th, 2013. So I have, you know, not quite 4 years, but coming up soon. And, you know, and it's funny coming back to a space I haven't been to in a while. Probably I haven't been here for maybe a year and a half or a year. And just to really see how much, you know, how life really does get better, you know, if you don't pick up no matter what, and one day at a time, and stay sober and work with a sponsor and, you know, and do the work. And, you know, I was really thinking about recently just about a lot of the work that we do here is really based around, you know, self-esteem, you know, certainly for me anyway. I came in with, like, very low self-esteem, and I think probably a lot of people can relate to that. And doing the step work and the meditation and, you know, and the fellowship, you know, it's a long process of building up your self-esteem and self-worth, you know, because I feel like for me, drinking, I couldn't be in a room with, I mean, obviously, you know, I would go, you know, do some, you know, some things without drinking, but certainly in a social venue or in a bar or talking to on a date or anything like that, I would have to be drinking or have a drink. I mean, there was no way. And, you know, I drank pretty much every day. In the last few years, I drank every day, and it really just all stopped working in the end in the last 2 years. And I had a lot of resistance. You know, I got sober at 38, and I was just thinking just recently that someone sent me pictures of me at Bonnaroo, which is a festival. In 2007, I was there, and one picture, I was, like, totally passed out. I'd been up for 2 days, you know, just looked kind of a mess, a real mess. And, I mean, the pictures were kind of funny, and then there was another one where I was, like, given a peace sign and, like, was completely on another planet. But, you know, it was kind of also really jarred me because at the same time, that was when I hit a real bottom in my drinking. And I carried on drinking for another 5 years. You know, around that time, I got diagnosed with HIV. I left my job. I had a really good job at the time. I left my job because it was illegal to be in the country as an illegal alien with HIV. So I, like, left my job because they were doing my green card. Didn't get the green card, obviously. Was going to go move back to the UK, where I'm from. And I ended up staying, figuring out a visa, you know, just kind of making it work somehow. And carried on drinking for another 5 years. And now, like, 14 years after being in the city, I'm now finally working on doing a green card myself. And, you know, it just really goes to show, like, how much resistance one can have, you know? And, you know, and it took me, like, another 5 years of drinking, of, like, losing a lot, like, going, having no money, having a lot of debt, not being able to work, you know, being behind on my rent. I never pay my rent on time, all of that unmanageability, gas bill cut off, electricity cut off at times, you know, just... phone bill, you know, all of it. So I'm just going to kind of not go too much into all the past of, like, where, you know, too much in the war stories. But, you know, I was brought up, like I said, in the UK, and I started drinking when I was about 12. I do. Some people say they remember their very first drink. I do not remember my very first drink. I just remember I started very young, and my childhood was a lot of a blur to me now because I was really miserable. I was bullied a lot. I had a lot of. It was a kind of a very. My mom had a lot of mental health issues. You know, it wasn't a happy time. So, you know, it's kind of a bit of a blur to me. But I, you know, as soon as I started drinking and smoking weed, it was like. I loved it, and I was always kind of a bad kid, and so the rebellious element of it as well I really liked, and I love that it just took me out of myself, and you know, and it was, I felt wild, you know, and it was fun. You know, threw up a lot in the beginning, started doing acid LSD when I was about 15, did that for about 3 years every weekend. Then I got onto ecstasy, and I did that for about 10 years. Then when I moved to New York in 2003, I started doing coke regularly. I'd like to point out I wasn't a daily drug user, so I was a daily drinker, but I would do drugs on the weekend to supplement my drinking. So I would like do coke on the weekends or acid or you know, it's two or three times, maybe once, maybe occasionally in the week. Weed, I smoked a lot, but I never liked it. It always made me paranoid, and yet I just carried on smoking it. I don't know why. I mean, I suppose a lot of people can relate to that, and you're like, why did I smoke weed for so long? I hated it. Made me so, like, crazy. And but, you know, in a way, I kind of like the craziness, because you'd have, like, that drink and then a bit of weed and you'd be off, but then, of course, you feel like hell. So, you know, so before I got sober, I had stopped all drugs. So, like, I got rid of the coke dealer's number. I did meth 3 times. I didn't do that anymore. I did, like, you know, whatever. LSD I couldn't definitely do for a while before that, because I had such bad trips in the end that it was just like, oh my god, it was just awful. So you know, so that was kind of my beginning there. And you know, I just managed to, like, muddle through. I did badly at school. I left school when I was 16, and there was a lot of unmanageability, like, easily in my teenage years. And you know, like, bunked off school a lot, and, like, didn't turn up for lessons, and probably a lot because I was bullied and whatever. And, you know, then I managed to scrape into an art and design class, and then I managed to scrape through that and get to do a national diploma, scrape through that, and I managed to get to go to do a degree in art. But I really just scraped through it all. Like, I really wasn't, like, excelling, but just managed to get through. And, then I just kept going and managed to get into a really good school in London. And there I remember my first year, I just kind of wasted. You know, it's like, looking back, I don't know how I got away with a lot of it, really. A lot of my drinking was related to, you know, drinking in gay bars or nightclubs. And had a lot to do with my relationships with men and how uncomfortable I was with that and with my own sexuality. So that was... you know, that a lot of promiscuity, and hence why I got HIV. And I just didn't care in the end. Like, I was just like, I don't care if I get HIV, who cares? Like, I just didn't care. I mean, it was just so sad. Now when I look back, and just this 10-year anniversary of getting HIV and whatever, I was like, God, you know, like, why didn't I get sober then? I just didn't even think about it. Like, and I met this guy who was in the program at the time. I met him on the train, and he was like, oh, I'm a week sober and I'm doing the 12 steps. I'm like, what's that? And he was like trying to get me to go to a meeting. I was like, wasn't even interested. So really, the point in all that, I was just very resistant. So, you know, in New York, things really got a lot worse. And I had a relationship. You know, my cousin was living here at the time. He still lives here, actually. And we used a lot together. We did this clothing line. We spent a lot of money, and it was completely unmanageable. We would do the whole clothing line in 2 weeks before Fashion Week, when most sane people spend 6 months working on it. So it was just like, you know, snorting lines of coke, drinking vodka, and I don't know how we got through it all. You know, blowing all the money up our nose, really. And, you know, by the time it came to the show, I was, like, dead. I was, like, I couldn't even look at people, let alone, like, stand up there and, like, sell my stuff, you know? So, you know, really, actually, the breakup of my relationship with him, just because things really got so crazy, they just exploded and imploded and whatever, you know, that was when I really hit my bottom again. And I, you know, I was a therapist at the time, said, you know, you really, you should go to an AA meeting, and how many times are you drinking? And I was like, oh, probably two or three times a week, which was a lie. I was drinking every day. And he said, well, if you're drinking two or three times a week, you should go to a meeting two or three times a week. So I started going, and you know, and I'm really coming back to the self-esteem thing. I mean, if I look back on it, I mean, I really hated myself. I was so miserable. And about that time, you know, like, which people probably relate to, it was just the alcohol just literally stopped working. There was times when I either couldn't get drunk and I would drink. And other times I would have just half a bottle of wine and be completely wasted and pass out at like 5 o'clock in the evening or something. And could never predict it. And, you know, and was just sick of it. And I would, I had no money in the end. So I would go to, I had like, you know, $10 here, $20 there. You know, I would do like odd jobs or whatever and get some money or steal money and, you know, go get a box of wine from Trader Joe's. And I'd be like, oh, this will last me a week. It'd be gone in a day, you know, maybe 2 days, but, it was just four bottles of wine, you know, and then the Coors Light cans, those kind of gold color cans, I would get them from a dollar from my deli, you know, and I would have a huge bag of them empty in the kitchen. And I just thought it was funny with my friend at the time, she's sober as well now. I'd like to say I wasn't really an alone drinker. I would drink times on my own, but I wasn't one of those curtain shut for 5 days drinking. I always had someone to hang out with, like my friend who's sober in the rooms. We have the same time. We kind of came at the same time. She's still sober. We partied a lot together, and we were kind of thick as thieves. And, you know, I had a couple of other friends. And, you know, I always had like a partner in crime, you know. You know, I'm a very naturally social person, so maybe it's to do with that, I don't know. You know, of course I would come home after all that and carry on drinking on my own, but that wasn't the premise of my drinking. So I wanted to really talk about when I did get sober. And, you know, like I said, I started working with this sponsor, Janusz, and, you know, I always had talking about spirituality, had kind of a sense of, just let me know how much time, a sense of like spirituality and you know, and I was brought up Catholic, so I kind of really had no interest in religion whatsoever. But I, about a year before I got sober, I called up this psychic or something, you know, and she said, you've got to ask for help. And I was like, oh, right, well, who should I ask? She goes, you know, just start praying, you know, to your guardian angel. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? Anyway, so I was so desperate, I just started doing it. And I was also going to Dharma Punk's meditation at the time. And I would go once a week, and that would be like the only night I wouldn't drink, so we'd do this meditation. It's kind of like an AA meeting, really. They have a meditation, and people share. And that would be the one night I would go home, and I'd feel kind of like at peace, and I wouldn't drink. And, you know, and I just start to feel a connection in some sense to something within myself and outside of myself, just something bigger than myself. And I didn't know what that was. I mean, I still don't know what that is, but I started to have an understanding of something outside of myself. And so I just started to ask for help. And I guess that's maybe what led me to meeting Janusz and getting to that first meeting. I don't know. But then as far as like once I started getting sober, I was counting days, and the step work was really important for me. You know, I started on step one straight away, and you know, I would sit in this room or go around to Janusz's apartment, and we would like read through the big book. And you know, he's a pretty serious guy. I mean, he has a sense of humor, but he's like, you know, he's like no nonsense, you know. I mean, I would be cracking up. And I had like a friend of mine, Mickey, who's sober. We both had the same sponsor, so we would go through the steps together sometimes, and we would just be cracking up and carrying on, and he would be like looking at us if we just like, you know, what the fuck are you doing, guys? Come on, we've got to go on with the work. And we were like, okay. And he would like never crack a smile or joke or anything. So so you would just start doing the work, you know, because it was kind of like really serious. And he was like, you know, you've got to get on your knees and pray every night. And I'm like, what? I'm not going to do that. And because when I prayed before, I didn't get on my knees and pray. And then like a month later, I think I was just in so much pain. I was so desperate that even after a month, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get on my knees and pray. And I still do that now, 3.5 years sober. You know, I don't go into some big, huge, long half an hour thing, but I do the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer every morning. and then I ask God to keep me sober, and I thank God at the end of the day. And I do that occasionally, I miss it, or occasionally I'll just say, God, keep me sober. But most of the time I have a pretty good routine. You know, I do meditate every day, about 12 minutes in the moment. Sometimes it's 20. I've had a couple of months where I don't do any. You know, I don't think anyone does it perfectly. And, you know, even though these gurus, if they're being honest, will tell you they miss a month now and then, you know. So I feel like, you know, I would, and I'm certainly not one of them. So I would, you know, I do my meditation. And anyway, he really got me into that. And, you know, and it really just started working slowly. I would go to NYU every day that I could because I wasn't working. I came to this meeting. I would go to Saturday Beginners, High Noon. And I went to a meeting every day for the first 90 days. I did do that 90-90, and I really felt like that helped me a lot just because it kind of gives you a focus. And, you know, plus I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't working. So it was like, what excuse did I have? Like, none. And, you know, I just went. And sometimes I went 2 days a week and gradually started to meet people. And, you know, and my life started to really build slowly. And that's really what, like, coming to that self-esteem thing. It just gradually started to build. Like, each time you get through that step, or the first step, which I had no problem with the first step, you know, the unmanageability and powerlessness, it was like, okay, yeah, so, you know, wrote the list, I didn't have a problem, you know. And as it got further into the steps, you know, like, step four was hard. I mean, Jana said you've got to do it in a week. I think it took me 3 months. He kept saying, oh, how's that fourth step going? I was like, I don't know. I've, like, done one sentence this week. But I totally don't recommend that because it's really painful. And actually, I'm going through the steps for a second time at the moment with my current sponsor, Patricia F., who's, like, amazing. And I'm going through them with her at the moment. And I drag my feet on that fourth step. So I think it's just a thing that some people do. I hear a lot of other people do it. You know, I did do some amends, like, to my family. Tried doing it with my brother. He's like an active drinker at the moment, and there's a lot of not good situation back home and a lot of unmanageability. And I tried doing amends with him. He just didn't want to know, kind of brushed it off. I couldn't really get very far. I mean, I really want to, like, try and pin him down, but I felt like as soon as I got sober, he just wanted to run as far away from me as possible for obvious reasons. So that's a little tricky. But now coming around to the steps again, I definitely have some more amends that I just didn't think about, like, 3 years ago, or I didn't think I needed to do, or I wasn't ready to, whatever it was, you know. And now there's ones which are going to be difficult, but I really want to do them. So I'm actually, like, eager. Now I'm in step eight, I'm actually eager to get to my step nine and get some release, because, you know, the promises, which I think is still read in this meeting, at the end, is, you know, it really is... you know, those promises are true, and they really relate to that step. You know, handling situations that used to baffle us. I mean, just things that I just didn't know how to handle, like asking for, you know, I work as an artist and freelance designer, and so I've got to set my own prices and ask to get paid and ask for a deposit up front. I just didn't know how to do that stuff. You know, I would totally get ripped off or not get paid or not ask for enough, and, you know, which, of course, you know, if you have self-esteem issues, just makes you feel worse, and then you beat yourself up. So it would just go on and on in the spiral, even when I was sober. But, you know, now it's like I'm getting better with that stuff, and I'm like, you know, I kind of know what to do. And also, you know, also what it says there, God doing for you what you can't do for yourself, that totally crops up in my life all the time, like just things which I am not able to do, or I'm like, I don't know how to handle it, like all of a sudden it would just be resolved for me. Like this job I was just doing, really full-on job for about 10 months, design job, which I really started out good and I ended up hating it. It was like, you know, it was just really a corporate and a toxic environment, and, you know, you just basically had to kind of be a robot, really, and I just, you know, it was just awful. And I really wanted to leave. I ended up getting laid off 2 weeks before I was going to hand in my notice, and you know what? I felt good about that because it took it away from me. It was not my will. It was God's will or somebody else's. And it was just done for me, you know. And I left on really good terms. I didn't get all weird, you know, or do kind of sabotage it, which I might have done, you know. And so it was like done for me. And actually it worked out perfectly. I just did this float for Gay Pride. I had this amazing project. And to do, and you know, which is also another thing I want to say, like just actually been able to handle like certain things like gay pride, July 4th, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, like Hanukkah, whatever it is that people celebrate, you know, just been able to do that sober and actually enjoying it, like has only just happened to me in the last 2 years. Like gay pride, I used to hate, I used to want to slash my wrists at the end of it, and I would get super drunk and like, you know, just want to kill myself and end up in some bar trying to pick up some sleazy guy, not getting anywhere, going home on my own, you know, and that was my story over and over towards the end, like wasted. And, you know, listen to the Smiths or something, you know, and you know, hope, you know, so that was like my life, you know, pretty sad, really, except for the Smiths aren't sad, you know, they're super cool, but, you know, so I just did this thing for gay pride and, you know, and just things like to start to happen where you realize you are living the life beyond your wildest dreams, which means just handling these situations or just enjoying days like this, which you just never enjoyed. And it all came down to having a community and working. All this whole group of friends came and helped me put it all together. And we all went down the parade together. And it was like one of the best days of my life, you know, and it was just, and it was for this charity, for this new transgender unit, in Lenox Hill. And, it was amazing, you know, and that was just 2 weeks ago, and things like that just keep happening, you know, and just by being true to myself and having a group of friends, and everyone was sober in the group, you know, and you know, so that's amazing to be with a group and like see people get, you know, your friends get strong in sobriety as well. So, you know, I definitely feel like I've had a spiritual awakening, and you know, but it's not something that just, you know, I feel like I have to work on it, and it changes me all the time, and sometimes I don't know what it is, and, you know, and really trying to live in abundance and not scarcity, and, you know, and like, oh, I can't afford this, or I can't do that, or whatever, you know, and then, of course, you know, not being reckless and being like, okay, I'm just going to spend everything in my bank account because I'm living in abundance. Well, that's not wise either. So you know, it's not easy, but you know, I feel like that's kind of really all I have, but I just want to thank everyone for being here and being sober, and thank you.
Thank you.